Hello, and we're back to Toonami Therapy once again. This time it'll be the shows that aired on December 16th and 17th. But before we do that, I have nothing else to say, so let's get into it. So we'll begin with Dragon Ball Super Episode 44. So in this one, Monaka's back. Wow, that was not very long he was gone. Because he's delivering something to Bulma. Anyway, through wacky shenanigans, Goten and Trunks end up getting stuck in the back of his truck while he takes off to go to another world. After everyone finds, after Bulma finds out about that, she gets Jocko and Vegeta to go after them. So, on the alternate world, he delivers something to a guy and, actually, I can't remember what he was actually delivering for that. The important thing is that there's some sort of special water on the planet, and a bad guy that makes you super powerful of some sort. So a bad guy gets it right when Vegeta shows up, and then he's able to use the water to, to sort of surround Vegeta and then make a sort of copy of Vegeta, and that's the end of the episode.
But you missed the best part of this episode, which was Bulma arguing with Vegeta about having to go and save their children. And then Bulma calling up Chi-Chi and Chi-Chi getting mad at Goku. Those were pretty funny parts of this episode. So, yeah, those are the parts I really like.
Okay. Yeah, those were good. Other than that, is there that much to say? Not that terribly much, I guess. It just was kind of a setup for stuff, and the best parts of it were, of course, the comedic portions. All right, Dragon Ball Z Kai, episode 143. So, Piccolo's hope of, stalling Boo by, the whole, there's still a lot of humans around, so Boo decides, okay, I'll just kill them all from here with energy blasts. Because those are a thing, remember? In this show, in case you forgot, you can attack people from a distance. So he just does that and kills everyone except for Mr. Satan, who's spared apparently because his, the sort of good part of him he reabsorbed, is at least preventing him from doing that. So Piccolo manages to, talk him into just giving them some extra time, so that he can get Goten and Trunks to do more training in the hyperbolic time chamber. And, most of the episode is just like the characters waiting around until Boo gets, annoyed about it and Piccolo's okay, fine, and then just tries to stall him by taking him the very long way around to the place.
Yeah.
And Gohan's still being powered up.
Yeah. And again, you forgot about Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi goes and gets mad at Boo, Super Boo, and goes and starts yelling at him, and Boo turns her into an egg and then smashes the egg.
Mm-hmm.
So that angers Goten.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what she was going for with that, but
that was pretty. It's cheesy violence, so it's okay to laugh about it.
Okay. All right, moving on. Black Clover, Episode 3. So we get after a bit of a backstory thing about, the Wizard King defeating a demon, and that's how it started the lineage of the Wizard Kings, we get a whole bunch of training and preparation and stuff for Asta and Yuno to leave. And that's it, basically.
Yeah, this episode, really not much happened, I'd have to say. And I'm not sure if Asta is supposed to come off as more annoying than he has. Like, you said something about the original the Japanese, he comes off as, like, really annoying.
It's mostly the way he's constantly shouting in this really aggravating way. I mean, he's often shouting in the English one, but it's toned down, so it's not quite as irritating.
Yeah, I was surprised at how little happened in this episode. It just felt like, I don't know, it just felt like this could have easily been fit into one of the first two episodes.
Yeah, because, truth be told, almost this entire episode was padding.
Really?
I was just like watching, I'm like, really? You just spent the whole episode almost? Almost all of it was just padding, and it just is so puzzling because I'm thinking, okay, I get why you do this sometimes, you know, in One Piece or Naruto, because you have to worry about catching up to the manga. The manga is on like on around chapter 150. You're not going to be catching up to it anytime soon. You can worry about the padding later on in the series. You don't have to do it now. So I'm just really confused as to why they just kind of do this episode on this right at the start, rather than saying, all right, let's get right to the exciting stuff as quickly as possible.
Yeah, this doesn't make much sense to me either.
No, it's kind of disappointing. Hopefully, next episode will, you know, have more stuff. So, that's all I had to say about Black Clover, because there wasn't that much to say. Did you have anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right. So, to something that I thought was a lot better, episode 18 of Stardust Crusaders. So they're, you know, in the Middle East still, and they're going to cross the desert via camels because Jotaro refuses to get into a plane with Joseph because he's been in 3 plane crashes so far. So Joseph ends up getting this really expensive car just to trade it for some camels. He's like trying to train them in how to use the camels, except he doesn't really know himself, so which ends up being really funny. It's like when someone said, I thought you said you knew how to use camels. He said, well, I watched Lawrence of Arabia 3 times. Well, okay, I kind of fell asleep through half of it in 2 of those viewings. But they end up getting the camels to work and they start going across. Except for the fact that it's getting, even for the desert, really hot. And even though it's, the sun's supposed to be going down, it's still there. So then they figure out that, they manage to figure out, oh, the sun is a, that sun, it's actually a stand. And then for some reason, someone says something like, how could that sun be a stand? And I'm thinking, every single stand so far has been named after a tarot card. There is a tarot card called, tarot card, called the Sun. I mean, maybe.
Well, I wouldn't know that, so.
True, but after encountering all of these, you think they would have, like, recognized some of them. I don't know. I guess you can say that maybe they thought it would be sort of metaphorical, because none of the other ones have been, like, literally what those things were. So, I guess that makes sense. Anyway, so it's super powerful, and they can't figure out where the stand user is, so they end up having to sort of hide under some sand to, you know, both get away from the heat and from its attacks. And then eventually they, everyone kind of starts, except Joseph starts laughing, which Joseph at first thinks means they're all going insane, but it turns out they actually just laughed because they figured out the trick, because it was actually really simple. The reason they couldn't find the stand user was because he was just using a mirror to reflect the desert so people wouldn't know where he was. So then Star Platinum just picks up just throws a rock at him, and it isn't a big rock. Congratulations if you recognize that reference. It's one of the funniest lines from Batman the Animated Series, for the record. It's from the episode Almost Got Him. But anyway, back to Joe. And that just beats him and knocks him out. And it's just really, and Joseph's reaction to this is just really funny. He was like, wait, that's it? We beat him just like that? We didn't even know his name. And then they all just kind of move on.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how that stand worked, if it was just reflecting the desert, because, like,
oh no, the stand didn't have anything at all to do with the mirror. The stand was just that big ball of fire that was attacking things. The mirror was there to reflect the desert so that when they looked to try to find him, they wouldn't see him because they just see the reflection of the desert. The mirror had absolutely nothing to do with the stand other than hiding the stand user. Okay. So they beat the stand just by hitting him with the rock, knocking him out, which beats the stand because, you know, you hurt the stand, you hurt the user, and vice versa.
Right. Okay, well, that makes sense. Yeah, I liked this episode. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. It was honestly pretty funny. I mean, even outside of, like, the obvious comic relief with Joseph and the camels, it's funny in that, in just the way it sets you up for, like, you know, another big, long, big, two-part stand battle, and then it's like, oh, that's a trick. Okay, we beat him. Let's move on. Like, to the point where even, like, Joseph's like, really? That was it? Yeah, really good episode. Okay. So, next is Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans, episode 34. I don't know why I said the full name that time, but whatever. So, let's see. So the big stuff here is that, meanwhile, at Teiwaz, there's some concern about Tekkaden possibly getting too big or whatever, but Naze kind of tries to reassure them on that, but he does tell Orga that to watch his back, because some of the other people might, you know, be going after him. And then there was some other stuff, but I can't really remember it now. And there's that also... There's also that one guy, the McGillis. You know how he was I don't know, engaged to that, like, actually really young girl, which is actually kind of weird, really weird. And yeah, we're reminded of that plot point, which he kind of forgot about until this point. But yeah, other than that, that's all I got.
Yeah, this episode was really boring to me. It just seemed like too much of the, you know, the politics of whatever they are,
I didn't necessarily mind the stuff with Teiwaz, if only because that involved a character I recognized and was, like, relevant to things going on. The problem was there was then all this other stuff going on that was just kind of only briefly around, and thus it all just kind of boiled together, and I couldn't remember most of it for, like, the purpose of a summary. Oh, well. Hunter Hunter, episode 77.
Okay, well, so this episode, Gon and Killua find out more information about the ants, and they decide that they're going to go and meet up with some other people, and they are going to try to figure out where this arm from an ant came from. So they're getting involved in that, and at the same time the Chimera Ant Queen is busy eating other life forms, and it ends up, because it has other ants or creatures going and finding life forms for it, so the ant queen ends up sending one out to go and get children, and now the ant queen has eaten humans.
Did it send them out to get children? I thought they were just out to, like, get whatever, and it happened to come across some kids.
Yeah. And so basically, once it has humans, now it gives birth.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gives birth to creatures that have human aspects to them. So So now it's got a new protector who's going out there to get more food and stuff. So, yeah, so now the ants are pretty formidable, and all this Gon and Killua do not know yet. So, there you have it.
Okay.
That's pretty much the episode.
Yep. One thing I did want to say that I thought was just mildly interesting. So they mentioned that that the ants possess a phagogenesis, which I don't think is an actually. Let me just double check. No, it only shows up in regards to like Hunter. I just was a little impressed by it because it's an actual combination of two like Greek or Latin words, because phago is like for eat and genesis is, you know, create, creation. So it does actually make sense for it to like, you know, be, oh, you eat and then you create what you eat. So it actually was kind of clever to take these two Latin terms and combine them into what's still a made up word, but what makes sense with the compounds you used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could say more about it, but it is just kind of a straightforward episode in terms of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
There is that. There's the, the one thing that I did find a little weird is, you know, it spends a bunch of time on like the kids before, you know, they get captured and eaten, and on like their, you know, personalities and relationship, and I'm just like, but then they just get killed. So what was the point of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it might pay off in that it has some of their like traits be passed on to the ants or something, but it still just kind of felt spending a bunch of time for something for it to not really end up being that important. Oh well. Mm-hmm. All right, so then we move on to Lupin the Third, episode 23. So this one is mostly just kind of a flashback to what presumably occurred before the start of the series, which is basically how Lupin first met Rebecca, which is so basically he was I can't actually remember why he was going after the train to begin with. It was because he was trying to get some kind of treasure. I can't remember the specifics, but Zenigata ends up actually finding him and handcuffing them together, except then they both end up kind of being the ones to have to go and save Rebecca because she's being held captive by this crazy guy who's trying to force her to marry him, and if she doesn't, then he'll just use the bomb or something to kill them all. And in terms of plot, there really wasn't that much. It mostly was entertaining. It was Zenigata and Lupin's interactions with each other that made the episode work. Because of the fact they're handcuffed together and their attempts to, you know, even sever it and not being able to make it work. It just the way they're forced to work together was really fun. And I can't really do it justice by describing it, but it was definitely what made the episode enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And they practice their matrix hacking skills also by being able to have the guy shoot a bullet at them and then manage to make it so that it perfectly hits the handcuffs in order to get them to break off without actually hurting them. Oh, and then the bullet redirects and hits something relevant also afterwards. Yeah, it's Lupin. You just roll with it.
Yeah,
it was a pretty fun episode. One thing I was wondering, though, was whether this might have... Because an issue I remember you having at the start was the way it just... the first episode just throws you into everything with no explanation of anything whatsoever, which made me wonder if maybe this would have been a better sort of first episode, because it kind of better introduces you to things.
Yeah, I agree. Like, because this gives a pretty good thing of how Lupin and Zenigata, you know each other. And though I don't know if I would have found it as funny if I didn't know these characters already, because it was hilarious whenever all of a sudden Lupin's getting away, and all of a sudden he runs in, he's like, Pops! and then everything happens afterward between the two of them, and they're continuing trying to shoot the handcuffs and destroy them, and every time they try, they miss and hit something else. And they're just getting angrier and angrier at each other. So
yeah,
it was pretty funny. I really liked this episode. I thought it was probably the second best to that episode where, again, the other one I really liked was whenever it was again Lupin and Zenigata, where Lupin finds a way to break out of that prison. That was also a very good one. And again, it was those two characters together making it funny. So whenever these two characters have a chance on screen together, they usually make for good entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I put it second best of the series, but it was a very enjoyable episode. I think what brought it down a little for me was while Zenigata and Lupin's interactions were great, we did have some other stuff that was just not as interesting. I think whenever they weren't on screen, it just kind of got a bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we got that. So Naruto Shippuden episode 184. Also known as 10-10 does something relevant, so you know it's filler. I mean, I know it's cheap jokes, but she just is made like that almost as a character. Like, at least Chad beat a few minor enemies in canon in Bleach. But yeah, basically they have to go and get some ninja tools, and of course some bad guys show up along the way and they fight them and then use some super special ninja tool that the guy had to be able to beat them, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, whenever Tenten got to be the star of the episode, I thought you'd have something funny to say about it because we know Tenten is pretty much useless, but basically, yeah, she's the captain, and she has to help them with this mission, which, you know, halfway through the episode, you've stopped caring about whatever it was. And, yeah, just filler again, mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, like, it seems like even the show itself, like, not the show itself, but, like, people make jokes about Tenten being, like, kind of pointless, but, like, in the final chapter of the manga, where it kind of does a flash forward, like, quite a few years to show us the characters, you know, when they're adults and stuff, you know, for a bunch of them, it's showing, like, what they're doing, and for Tenten, all you see is that she has some weapons shop, and she's just, like, it just cuts to her complaining, man, no one's buying, because it's peacetime, and that's all you get from her in there. She has a weapon shop, and no one's buying, so she still isn't doing anything important. Like, I have to feel that at some point Kishimoto, just like the author of Naruto, just like realized that and just said, you know what, I'll just make this into a joke. All right. So, Outlaw Star episode 15. So in this one, we get introduced to this group of seven assassins, the Anten Seven, who are all super dangerous and stuff. And actually, I did like the narrator where he's kind of talking about them. He says, if I had a friend who became an enemy of them, I would simply say farewell, friend, which was actually kind of cool. Anyway, but of course, so they get told they should be going after Jean. But, of course, they decide, hey, let's just go one at a time. Why not? So only one of them goes after him. And he basically kind of challenges Jean to a sort of a duel. And they end up doing that. And And even though the other people all try to help out Jean, he's able to beat all of them. And and Jean managed to barely win through mostly apparently luck. Although it is revealed at the end that the guy not directly stated, but it's extremely strongly implied, I think, that the guy deliberately lost in an effort to fake his own death so that you could just get away from the assassin business altogether. Because before that I was like, man, this is just kind of annoying how lucky the characters are being in dealing with it. He was letting them win. Okay, that makes sense. But I did like the way that it was using that as a way to try to play up the group, because this guy if he had been fighting for real, would have absolutely won. It was only because of the fact that he was, like I said, secretly just trying to maneuver into a position where he would seem to be dead, but wouldn't really be, in order to get out of the whole thing. So I thought it was effective in that way.
I thought it was a pretty entertaining episode. I just don't understand why these seven are after Gene. Is that supposed to be a secret?
I think it was because, remember those those various sort of pirate groups that they kind of, that came after them and they were able to, thwart? I think these are at least part, not necessarily either part of it or are being hired by them. So it's like, okay, these guys have taken care of these. Let's actually send out the really heavy artillery, even if we're just doing it one at a time. By the way, why the guy has the one thing that bothered me, he has this sort of thing that creates this force field that, can deflect bullets. Why isn't everyone using those? That just because he's not the only person we've seen who does this sort of thing. It just makes me wonder why those aren't being used a little more often. Oh well, but yeah, it was decently entertaining.
Yeah, I found it entertaining. It kind of made sense at the end. I was like, okay, this is typical cliche stuff for a while, but then whenever it was revealed that he was faking it, then it kind of made it make more sense. So it wasn't just cliche,
Yeah. Yeah. That worked, but I also did like I mentioned, the way it's able, because you always have the problem where, okay, how do you make this group or person seem fearsome, but you have to have them do that, but then you often, you can always have them fight the protagonist, but then you always have to come up with some reason for the protagonist to not die in the process, which usually is just a bad guy going, well, I won't kill you now for some reason. But here it actually made sense.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ghost in the Shell, episode 33, or episode 7 of season 2. So, our main characters end up kind of basically being hired by the government to ship some plutonium. They were shipping that, but then some of the refugee terrorists ended up apparently finding out about it. So our heroes end up with the job of, trying to protect it and such. So they, do that. But then when they kind of come into an encounter with some guys, a firefight ensues because a guy looked like he had a gun, but it was actually a lead pipe. And so that, results in a bunch of people dying. And then it turns out that they weren't transporting any plutonium. That was just in a totally different location, and they were being used as a decoys. And of course, the whole thing kind of annoys them a lot. Especially because the guy who was, I can't remember his name. The guy with the weird, the guy with the weird head.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Who's
I don't know his name, though.
Yeah, but he's he's so kind of obnoxious about everything and stuff. So, but yeah, we've got that. It's basically, it's kind of going forward in this sort of complaint. Some of them had that it seemed like they were just kind of being used as sort of errands people by the government. And, you know, this is like the height of that. So, yeah, it's a case of like, it doesn't exactly progress the overall plots, but it kind of progresses, you know, the interactions of the characters with each other, which was nice. And, you know, the twist in that is like, oh, well, nothing you did actually mattered. Sorry. Was pretty good.
Yeah, I had actually seen this episode before, and I thought this was like the episode of a little while before it was, and it wasn't. So now I've watched it again. So I've seen it twice now, and yeah, it was okay, you know.
Yeah, I hope though, because we've been having the problem of how on demand or on their website, they haven't been doing the Ghost in the Shell episodes right. But since they kind of caught up to the part where they were, maybe now it'll start working better. I don't know. We'll see. I hope so, because I had been getting these from some DVDs at the library, but for some reason they only had the first two volumes of the second season. So after the 8th episode, I'm going to need to watch it some other way.
Mm-hmm.
On the plus side, I did figure out, it was actually really easy to figure out how to use on demand now that I actually wanted to use it. What was really hard was finding where the Toonami shows were, in all the categories. Cause like, I'm like, okay, adult? No, it's not under adult. Kids? Well, obviously not for kids, but you know, it was on Cartoon Network, so I might as well check. Nope. And then if you like do, cause you can like have it show the stuff for the channel you're currently watching, but it just shows the Cartoon Network stuff and not anything from Adult Swim. It turns out, after trying so many categories, it was under Cutting Edge Free. That's the category that the Adult Swim stuff was under. I don't know how I was supposed to figure that out, but I did just by trying everything. So now I'm set for that. But seriously, Cutting Edge Free. Ugh. All right. So that was Toonami for this week. I guess we can go for what we thought was what best. Sorry, but I'm going to have to say JoJo again.
I am going to go with Lupin the Third.
Okay.
Because I really enjoyed that whole thing between Zenigata and Lupin. I know there were some things about the episode that didn't make sense, and you know, but I was laughing hilariously during some of the moments, like whenever the car went off the cliff and landed and they're just still going. That was hilarious because it was so unrealistic, and it was like something you'd see on the Benny Hill Show or something. So
when you were starting to say that, it was like something you say, I was going to say Looney Tunes, but that works also.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was ridiculous, but it was funny, and that's all I really care about. So, yeah, sorry, JoJo, I got to go loop on this.
No, at least you're picking different things. I just keep picking it because I keep just thinking, well, I just enjoyed it the most. I have to pick it. I don't know, maybe next year we'll try, like, doing our top three. Two or top three or something to make sure that there's some diversification. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of that, so Toonami is going to be going on in terms of new episodes, a hiatus for the next 2 weeks. As you know, there's Christmas and then there's New Year's, which is always a little weird to have like two super big holidays within a week of each other, essentially. So obviously we're not going to do that. What we are going to do in the meantime is have a special episode where we're planning to basically take all the shows that aired over the last year, And just rank them from what we thought was like the weakest to the best, and we'll just go through it and compare our list with each other and sort of discuss them.
Yep. That'll happen sometime next week, maybe not Tuesday because of Christmas being so close to it, but it'll be sometime next week that we'll do that. And I really look forward to it. Last year, the only thing you remember about last year, my memory is way too short, so I totally forget most of it, but I do remember Parasite was your worst show of the year last year. So that was pretty funny whenever you gave your thing about Parasite. I couldn't stop laughing over that. That was great.
Actually, keep going.
No, that's all I had to say.
Yeah, that was unfortunately one of the episodes we lost of the older podcast, but I actually have it written down. I found it. My list, for those I'm curious, it's from, I didn't write yours, unfortunately, at least not here, but for me it was lowest to highest. Parasite, Dimension W, Gundam, Iron-Blooded Orphans, Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, Samurai Champloo, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. This is that was part one, essentially. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure part one, Akame ga Kill, One Punch Man, Hunter x Hunter, and One Piece.
Actually, I found a whole bunch of our episodes on my Dropbox, but I don't think we had this one as part of it. I don't know. I found like 50 episodes or so I had accidentally kept. So there you go. Okay. That's what we'll be doing next week. What number episode would that be? Episode 40 for us?
I'll check that quick. That will be 40. Yes, this is 39. So that's actually a reasonably even number. Not quite as even if it had been 50, but you know, you got to take what you can get. Yeah. Oh, one note I should mention. I'll probably mention it again in the next episode, but we are not going to be counting Black Clover or season 2 of Ghost in the Shell for the purposes of that. Those aren't being counted because they've started recently. There's not really enough episodes. If there had been just a few more of Ghost in the Shell second season, I think I would have, but it kind of stopped a little short of like the sort of required number of episodes for me to count it.
And for me, I've this is the only episode I've seen, so I don't know how I would have ranked it. So
I will say that the first 7 episodes I do think on the whole were better than the first 7 episodes of the first season. But I'm not sure how much of that is, you know, better quality and how much of it is fact. I am actually familiar with these characters in this situation.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, you're right about that. So we'll review all this stuff and find out which show reigns supreme for 2017, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that is the year. I hope it is.
Because
if it isn't, then I've been writing very wrong dates on my checks. Okay. All right. Was there anything else you wanted to discuss?
Nope. That's it for this week.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you wanted to, or did you not see the new Star Wars movie yet?
Oh, yeah, I did see it. Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I don't want to spoil anything for you. So, because here's the only thing I'm going to say about Star Wars is that I had a very rude person go and spoil the whole movie for me on their Facebook. So I'm just going on Facebook, you know, I'm just wasting time on there. And all of a sudden I come to this post that says so-and-so this, so-and-so that, so-and-so this, so-and-so that, blew the entire movie for me within 10 seconds. And there's nothing I could do about it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it, you know? I mean, and I wasn't even trying to look very hard. I just happened to see it, and boom, just like that, everything's ruined for me. And I watched the movie hoping, okay, maybe that guy was just lying. Maybe he just did it as a prank. No, he did that on purpose to ruin it for other people. So, yeah, I had the entire movie ruined for me. So there are some things about it I like. There's a lot of stuff I hated. And
well, I know you really disliked The Force Awakens. Do you think this was an improvement on that?
Slight improvement.
Okay.
Slight improvement. Okay. Yeah. It is a better movie because of two certain characters who have pretty good chemistry with each other. But, one of them being a new character. So,
okay.
I'll talk about it more whenever you've seen it, because if I got it spoiled, I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to my sister either, who wants to see it.
Okay.
So, I'll just leave it like that.
Okay. I don't know when I'll end up actually getting to watch it because I'm probably not going to be able to see it this upcoming weekend. And I don't know about that. It might be that for The Force Awakens, by the time I actually got to watching it, it was when it had cycled down and was in those sort of the theaters that get the stuff several months after the big theaters get it, which is where I saw it. It's weird because I saw it so long after it came out, and somehow I watched it without actually being spoiled on practically anything from it. All I knew was that an important character died, and that was it. I didn't even know who it was.
Wow.
The only thing I knew was that, and that a lot of people said that it was kind of a copy of the first movie. That was all I really knew going into it in terms of the plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one isn't a copy of anything, in my opinion. So
okay, all right. So I hope you enjoyed this edition of Star Wars Therapy. Sorry, I wanted to make it a little more alliterative, but I couldn't really think of one offhand. And so, if you want to see more of our episodes, you can get them at TommyAPhillips.com or TsunamiTherapy.podbean.com. We usually try to get these up around the middle of the week. Our goal is usually Wednesday, but, sometimes it comes in after that. As for next week, I don't really know when we'll be doing it. Probably sometime next week, but, we got 2 weeks free, so if things don't work out, then we might even do it later on, but we'll be doing it sometime before the Toonami returns. If you got any comments or questions, you can leave comments at either of those locations. And that was essentially it. Is there anything else that I wanted to mention? Actually there was something. And that was the question. One thing last week I kind of made a joke about how the big movie everyone was excited for was Ferdinand. And so I'm looking and I was just, and it didn't do very well at the box office. I'm thinking, why did you ever put this against a Star Wars movie? Like, what possessed you to put a $100 million budget movie on the same weekend as Star Wars? Of course you're going to get clobbered. I don't know. Just felt, that just felt kind of weird, to me. Maybe it'll rebound and stuff. I mean, I think it got decent reviews. I just mentioned that because it just felt so weird to put something like that against what's basically going to be the biggest movie of the, well, I can't necessarily the movie of the year because there's only a few weeks left in the year, so it might not top some of the earlier stuff, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. Just seemed a little bit of a questionable decision, but well, they make a whole lot more. The people who made that decision make a lot more money than I do, so they must be doing something right.
Mm.
All right. Now we're done. See you next time.